So this morning, it's a transition point, I think, in ministry. The first 20 years, now the second 20 years. We had 20 years under our belt. What about the next 20? Where's it going to go? What are we going to do? What kind of vision do we have for ministry? Wade wanted to use music to represent the next 20 years by choosing a young man here, Jacob, and he did a rap song. I think that tells something. 20 years from now, how old are you going to be? Calculate in your head real quick. 20 years from now. Jacob, how old are you going to be? 35. See, he's the one and his group is going to be leading their church. That's going to be the age group. Isn't that right? That's cool. So we need to plan for that. Where are we going to be for the next 20 years? Where am I going to be next 20 years? That's a good question. I'm 64. I'll be 65 in about 4 weeks, 3 weeks. So I'm 64, 74, 84. I'll still be here. But I'll probably be moving slower than I am now, which is getting kind of concerning, isn't it? So God's going to move in new leadership, and he's going to take control of our church, and we just need to be prepared for that transition. And I know he's got a plan for us, and I'm beginning to see some of that plan, which is good. But don't kick me out yet. I'm not done. But our whole world is going to change. You know, have you noticed the changes in society over the last 10 years, over the last 5 years, over the last 2 years, the amount of anger and resentment and fighting, we're using the internet as a tool, as a weapon. Governments are using cyberspace, attacking each other, grabbing our information. What are they doing with that? They're using it to steal your income out of your bank. Life is going to change. Your currency probably won't be even here 20 years from now. Most of the money you use is already electronic, isn't it? You pay your bills electronic, you put your money in the bank, and you don't see it, you just write a check. So you don't see money much anymore anyway. Well, that's going to get less and less. Let's go back 2,000 years ago. What was it like when Paul wrote to the Philippian church? It was written from prison while he was in Rome. He was imprisoned, he was in Rome. It was at the end of his ministry. Believe it or not, he died before the 70 AD destruction of the temple that Jesus prophesied about. So he died just before it. How did he die? He had his head cut off. He was in prison, and he died for his faith. Paul was born in 5 AD in Tarsus, Sicilia, in the Roman Empire, and he died in May or June of 68 AD in Rome, 2 years before the destruction. He was beheaded because he wouldn't keep his mouth shut. They said, shut up, and he said, no, I'm going to talk about Jesus. He said, shut up, and he said, no, I'm going to tell you that Jesus is God in the flesh. That's heresy. Only Nero is God. So this letter was probably his final communication with the Philippian church. And he wrote this with some encouragement. This is not my final communication with you, however. I just wanted to let you know real quick. I'm just using his final because I think it has some good points to it. The letter was written in a unique way. Dave Diani is a pastor of a vineyard church over in Pataskala. And we were at a vineyard meeting when Paul just pastors over at his church. I don't know how many, there was probably 8 or 10 of us there. And we just circled and were praying for each other. And suddenly David had a word of knowledge from the Lord. And he just kind of stopped praying and he turned and he said, Steve, the Lord has a message for you. I said, oh, what's that? He said, he gave me the number 10. Now, you probably know what that means. I'm not sure I do, but I think I do. But that's the number 10, and I'm supposed to tell you this morning. Well, I had been struggling with, you know, all the issues of pastoral transition. What if something happened to me? Because, as you know, I've had some health concerns. And I'm thinking, what if I had to step down suddenly? What's going to take place? A couple of the elders have also vocalized that same concern. What are we going to do if something happens to you? So I was struggling with that. And it was in my mind, how long? He said, I thought, you know, how do you predict something like that? I'm not planning on retiring when I turn 65. As long as I can preach, I mean, I don't have to be able to do anything else. I can still get up and talk, right? So I don't want to retire. I've seen pastors that grow up into their 90s preaching. I don't think I'll make it that long. I don't think it'll be that long before the Lord returns. I'd like to preach until he gets here. But, like Paul, they're going to have to cut my head off if they want me to shut up. So you tell your elders when you want me to be headed, because that's what's going to happen. So that being the case, I'm just letting you know that the number 10 that morning really meant something to me. Because it told me, it gave me encouragement that God's not going to let me go for 10 years. And so that was 3 years ago. So that's 7 more years that was in that number. 7's a good number. What would I like to see happen to that 7? That's a little bit of what I want to talk about this morning. Okay, this letter is probably his final communication. This is, like I said, the kickoff to what I think is supposed to be special. Turn to chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 12. I'm just going to read 3 or 4 verses here. 4, actually. So, Philippians 3, beginning with verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. If in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Now, I know that probably goes over your head just a little bit because you don't know what the previous 3 chapters bring. But he was talking about God. He was talking about how God sent his Son to bring you something very, very unique. He wanted God to bring you joy. Let your face know that God came to let you have some joy. 17 times in this small chapter, Paul uses the word joy. So let's break this down just a little bit. I want to use these verses as a foundation so we can start talking about being joyful and looking forward to the next years, whatever they may bring. So I don't know what they're going to bring, but I do know that God gave me that prophecy that Wade referred to a little while ago. But when you were going through that video, there was one picture of a cat sitting on a picnic table. How many of you saw it? Did you notice it? That's a very important cat. That's why I put it on the screen. That cat adopted us during the building phase, and we were up to shelter house having worship services. And that cat showed up for worship every Sunday. And then when we were building, he was down here with the builders. And they took pride in Jabez. That's what his name was, Jabez the cat. We named him Jabez, and he's just stuck around with us. One day, when there was no roof on this, and right out front here, and it was dark in the evening, and we were out here walking around looking to see what they had done that day, and we set some milk and some food out for Jabez in the front entryway. And Carol walked around the corner, and she saw Jabez, and she reached out, and she started petting him. And she said, "What have you been into? Your hair is so coarse." And she suddenly looked at it. She was petting a skunk. It wasn't Jabez. But Jabez does show up, and did show up, and he walked off into oblivion somewhere along the line. But he's still with us because we used his name to start off in a ministry of prayer and a prayer that God wants to. He says, this is the Jabez prayer. Oh, that you would bless me indeed, Jabez prayed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. 1 Chronicles 4:10. That became our prayer. Increase our territory. What does that mean? That we would find favor in the land that God gave us. And we came out here on the edge of the county, no other churches out here at the time, thinking that God told us this is the territory he wanted us to conquer. So we started praying, and it's a lady that's here this morning. She was walking on top of the hill, weren't she, Karen? And she was more sure-footed than me, but she stepped in a hole and fell on her face. And God told her this is hallowed ground. And that's where we planted the cross, isn't it? On the top of the hill. That was before we even bought the land. We were just looking at the land at the time. Another lady, she down here, was praying at the same time Karen was up there. Her name was Andrea. And Andrea was praying, and God gave her a message. He said, go up higher. I looked at Andrea and I said, go up higher? You can't get much higher than this ground. I mean, this Horns Hill is right there, and that's not for sale. And so I thought that was an odd thing. We didn't buy the land at the time because that was when we had the whole 500 acres for sale. And we didn't want 500. We couldn't afford it anyway. But later they sectioned it off and they put houses around it and they called it a development. And Country Time got it. I just tell you this up front. In that story, You know, when all of a sudden I said, because this property goes right up to my property, it's over on Pleasant Hollow, I called to see how much they were selling the land for. Well, they had 3 to 5 acre plots, they're selling for around $20,000 to $25,000 each. I said, well, do you have any big spots? I said, yeah, we have two. One's 20 acres, one's 21 point something acres. And they have an entryway to them. And I said, where are they? He said, they're about in the middle of the ground behind all of these houses. I said, well, how much do you want them? He said, well, we want that much. How much? That's how much we want for them. Could you send me the plot? We sent them the plot. We laid it out and we thought, wow, this looks like the perfect land. And long story short, that land we bought wasn't the whole ground, but for Andrea was sitting, it was a land just higher than the land she was standing on, because she was standing right over here. And it was that land that goes all the way up to where Karen was up there praying, and where the cross was planted. So I know this is hallowed ground. I know this is ground God set aside. So it would be a miracle for a small band of people to buy that ground that we bought, but the miracle happened, and it happened quickly. I don't want to spend 15 years buying land. We need to have a facility sometime. So let's get a 6-month loan. Well, they weren't giving loans to anybody. There was a church that didn't have a 3-year history of giving. We didn't have a 3-year history. We had about a year and a half. So we prayed. I went to visit one of the presidents of Park Bank. I mentioned to him what we were doing. He trusted us. He said he would give us a loan, but it wouldn't be a 6-month loan. We had to have at least a year. So we raised part of it. The elders had to discuss over it. I don't know, is there any of those elders still at our church? I don't think so. That first beginning group of elders, they had to be in complete agreement about purchasing it. And so they were. And we had to be a buildable piece of ground, and it was. And so we agreed upon it, and we bought the land, and we paid it off in 4 months. The fastest loan paid off in the history of by a church in Park Bank, ever, by a church. And I said, well, we'll take a break now, because that really drained this congregation. I know it did, because people really sacrificed. So we were good and calm, because that was in October. And then 2 months later, in November, I get a notice in the mail from the Granville School District, from the superintendent of schools, saying, it's been great having you here, because we've been there every Sunday. They give us free rent. They give us a key to the building. We just used it freely. I mean, they were very, very, very generous with us. And they said, but next summer, we're going to redo all of our buildings, and we're not letting anybody stay in the buildings any longer, so you're going to have to step out. So I started looking around, and by that time, we were up to about 120 people, 125. There wasn't any places to go that we could go consistently for 125 people. We could go to another school, but like he said, you have 1 month, and you have to be out. Then to go over, we did go over to Licking Valley, but they are so far away from so many people, it was just really hard to get to. So I said, well, we've got 42 acres. Why don't we build a barn on it? We start in a barn. We can continue in a barn. So the guys in the church got together, and we built a shelter house with our own hands, climbing up on top of that roof, right, John? Nailing in those nails. Who else was here during that time? Were you up there, Dave? No, he wasn't saved yet, were you? You know, he wasn't. Joe, were you up on that roof building with the, okay, all right. Joe was there. In any case, there wasn't very many of us there up on that roof, but they came together and built a shelter house with their own hands. I was impressed. And then from the shelter house, we moved into the shelter house to have worship services that summer. And we set up, and the worship team set up out on a ledge, and we put chairs, everybody brought their chairs, and we worshiped there, and we worshiped there until it started getting to be September and getting cold, and our building wasn't done. By the way, they wouldn't let us build a barn. We showed them what we wanted for a barn. They said, no, you have 120 people. You have to have this big of a sanitary system. You have to have this, and you have to have this, and you have to have this. Next thing you know, we're building a church. Next thing you know, we're saying, well, are we going to build a church for the people we have today, or are we going to plan for the future? We're going to plan for our children. So next thing, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And so this is the first phase of the building project, which is a multi-purpose building, and it has been multi-purpose. And so we started building it, and it didn't get finished until it was Christmas time. I think we did have our Christmas service in here by permission, but it had no carpet and no stage, and we just met in here, and it was fun. And then a couple months later, we dedicated the church. God increased our territory in 1 year, and we had a facility. And so, therefore, it's been kind of exciting to watch that take place. So Paul, he tells us in verse 13 of the third chapter, what we need to do when you get into the ministry for a period of time, like the Philippians have been in ministry for a period of time. Now he says it's time to evaluate. So Paul is evaluating his life and his ministry through the Philippian church. He says that he has not arrived yet, and to me, that's an amazing statement for a man like Paul. Okay, he's getting older, and he says, you need to be like Christ. He says, we all need to be like Christ, but I'm not there yet. If Paul's not there yet, and this is after his third missionary journey, what does that say about me? Paul was a humble man. He's an old man, and he's probably had the right to claim he had arrived, because that would be Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. I don't know if you know that. Most of it are penned by him. He helped spread Christianity throughout the whole Roman Empire. He made an incredible impact on the world. Yet Paul, at the end of his life, says, I don't have it all together. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not perfect. I'm still growing. That's a good evaluation. We're not there yet, guys. We're still growing. We still need to grow. God has done some wonderful things through this church in the last 20 years. I can't tell you the number of people that are saved, the number of lives that have been touched. We seem to be an ascending church. We've sent people out to help start other churches all around the community. We didn't willingly send most of them. They did it on their own. But they're still in ministry. We support people who go to Albania. We support people who go to Brazil. We support people who go to Afghanistan, Guatemala. I've been to China, to Africa, Zimbabwe, Kenya. This church has done a lot. The light's been shining bright. And we've been worshiping. Someone once said that nostalgia is the sandpaper that smooths the edges off of the good old days. When you talk about the good old days, you tend to just remember the good stuff. Or you tend to just remember the bad stuff. Okay, I'm hoping that you're going to tend to remember the good stuff. Paul is individual and says, I don't have it all together. I haven't arrived yet. But I'm proud of you Philippians for just holding on. Anniversaries are those great moments to look back, but we need to be careful with nostalgia. So, over the time, we tend to forget the hardships and remember only the blessings. Paul could have taken great pride in what he had already been able to accomplish. Instead, we see he is not content, and he is still striving for more. Even from prison, he's winning all the guards to the Lord. He's winning the Nero to the Lord. He's out there doing what he can, and still out there reaching out to all those churches that he planted. So God's not done with us yet either. We have not arrived. I'm looking forward to 2022. You know why 2022? That's only 3 years from now. So that's a hopeful goal to look forward to. But you know what happened on 2022? That is our real 20-year anniversary of this ministry here in this church. Because on 7602, we dedicated this ground and began the building process. We did it right out here on the entryway to the property. We set up a little tent. We sang some songs. And we dedicated the property. You know how I know it was 7602, July 6, 2002? Because our address is 7602 Stewart Road. So I can't forget the day we started. But I also remember what else we did. We took a time capsule. We actually took five time capsules. We stuffed in it to Jabez's prayer. We stuffed some pictures in it, which would be fascinating to look at. I can't remember what all we put in, to be truthful. But anyway, we put the same thing in five capsules. And we planted one right at the foot of the cross, and then one at each corner of Lincoln County. And then we held hands, and we prayed, and we claimed this county for Jesus Christ. And then the team went out to the four corners. And yes, we did get permission of the people on the property at the four corners. And hopefully they remember where it's planted at, because I don't know. They're all the same. So as long as we get one, we'll see what they look like. He claimed it for Jesus Christ. Have we forgotten that? Sometimes we get so settled in on being a church and being a body of Christ, we forget that there's lots and lots of people out there that we are not reaching. So therefore, I want to look at the next 20 years real quick. Okay? Real quick. It's important to remember what's important, and it's remember to let go of what's not important. We've had some heartaches lately. It's affected our families and some of our life in our church, and we've got to get over it. We've got to move forward. So first thing you do is elimination. And he says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. So we've got to get go of yesterday. Elimination. That's what Paul's saying. Forget yesterday. It's time to move forward. We spent this time this morning remembering. Now it's time to move forward. We've got to forget our failures. Don't rehearse things you in your heart that God has long since forgiven and forgotten. You need to do that yourself. And you, in your heart, let go of yesterday. There's all kinds of baggage we carry into tomorrow. And we've got to let go of it. And as a church, you need to do the same thing. Okay? Let go of the baggage. Paul says, I learned to forget the past. That's a quote. Do not sit around beating yourself up for mistakes. Everybody has them. Everybody's blown it. Nobody's perfect. And I am your prime example. If you look very close, you'll see I'm not perfect. I made some big mistakes along the way. But the one thing I can assure you, I've always done my best. I always will do my best for you. There are things we are not proud of, and I apologize if you've been hurt. Like Paul, we need to admit it. That's what he just said here. I'm not perfect. So Paul, of all people, probably had many regrets that could have haunted him, but they probably didn't get recorded very often, especially in the Word of God. But he does list some of them. Next, we must forget our successes. We can't live on yesterday's successes, can we? Because they're yesterday. What is done is done. Remember my sermons a couple of days? We can't got to be careful about the good old days because they're gone. But I talked about, you know, time and the future. Once you get to this moment, this is the moment that counts. Every time you get to here, the past is done. The past is done. So you start a new day. You start a new moment every moment because every moment is a new moment in your life. So forget the past. And then we need to begin to recapture the vision. Kind of recapture it in a brand new way. Committed believers, T-R-U-T-H, you know what they are, don't you? Evangelism, discipleship, worship, ministry, and missions. And we need to capture them. Committed believers, evangelism. I stated you are the best assets of this church. It's not the building, it's not the ground. The people are the best assets. And we need to invest more into people than we do into building and grounds. And as you come together, we need to meld each other into each other so we become a body of Christ. And we need to meld into each other using all your gifts and talents for the kingdom of God. So that's going to be the discipleship, engage disciples. How can we move forward as a church body unless we embrace each other's weaknesses? On September 15th is a Back to Church Sunday across the nation. God was speaking to me about this about 2 months ago, about we need to do a get back to church emphasis. So I decided that's what we're going to do. And then all of a sudden, it started popping up everywhere. Someone had developed the same program. Let's make September 15th Back to Church Sunday. I want to get into it because I thought the material was really good. Of course, I will tweak it because I like to tweak. And so it's got some really good things on how to make friendship evangelism important in our church. Out of the people who go to church, 95% of them were invited by somebody to go. And 80% of the time when you invite someone to go with you, they will say yes. They're just not doing it. We need to invite people to church. Our parents, our children, our brothers and sisters, our next door neighbors, our co-workers, our friends, our Facebook friends. Will you go to church with me? That's an important part of it. So I want us to do it together as a church, and part of it has to do with doing prayer walks in your own community. Second is, they've been after me to do podcasting. Okay, now I'm really a hip pastor, and I have no idea how I'm going to throw pods at all you guys. I'll pull them off of the trees, and I'll throw them on Sunday mornings. I'll podcast. Well, I do have a little logo that Brandon made up for me the other day, and it's called The Closer Look. I'm going to start doing podcasts. I don't know how often it'll be at least weekly. And you'll be able to download on your phone or your computer an app, and you'll push that app, and you'll get to hear me talking to you for a few minutes. Now, you know how I always run over my sermons? I'm going to try not to do that. And then if there's more to the sermon, I'm going to put it into a podcast. And those of you who in your own time, you can push the button, and you can hear the rest of my sermon. That's why it says A Closer Look. Or some of you have been asking about research. Where did you learn that at? I'm going to begin to tell you some of the research. Or some of you have been after me about what's been going on in the world. We haven't had any of our prophecy weekends. So if you want my podcast, I'll tell you when that app's available, but there's nothing there yet, so don't download it because there's nothing there to download it, okay? But that's what I'm going to be doing after they're urging for me to do that, and then after I learn how to do it, I'll do it, and that'll be within the next week or two. Next, small groups. Our small groups are wonderful. We have incredibly good small groups. However, we're not developing new small groups. And our small groups are independent small groups. They're not doing anything together. They're not sharing together. They're not being to church together. So my son, Andrew, thinks he can help us pull that together. And so we want some young adults, and we want them to become a part of the church, and we want everybody to feel comfortable in small groups. So that's going to be another emphasis. We're going to put small groups together. And then surrender servants. I know Ada and Kim have been doing all that they can to keep servant evangelism going. I want to give that a boost, okay, so that we can start doing servant evangelism together, not just twice, once or twice a year, but on a regular basis like we used to. So that's where the future of the church is going. I think that's what Paul was trying to tell us to do. And so what does that mean have for us? We have to have determination. Not give up, but determination. When we have fellowship dinners, we have great fellowship. Always. And so that's what we're going to do in a few minutes when we close the service. But we need to have more than just fellowship dinners. We got to make it work for the people out in the community. So are you on board? Kinda, huh? You have to get more information what it's going to look like. Okay, well, Jesus started with 12 disciples. 12. We can do it. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Can you stand with me? Father, we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to look back, see some familiar faces, Lord, and to give you the praise for all that you've done. Lord, you know I've loved every one of the people that come through these doors. And I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to have taken small part in all of their lives. Help us to do that with each other, Lord. Help us to let go of any scars or wounds, and help us, Father, to celebrate inside, Lord, all the victories. All the people who crossed over that mark and held on to you. And for all those, Lord, who stepped through the door into eternity, just like Bob's dad and Grace's mom just this week. Lord, I remember how much joy it was just to celebrate people coming through the doors. I remember little Florence Novick, Lord, looking up to people's faces coming in the door. And how now she sits in a nursing home. And she remembers me sometimes, and sometimes she doesn't. So the aging process is a serious one, Lord. But we know you are ageless. So we celebrate together, Father, being the church. We thank you that this church's light still shines here at the base because we send people like Adam and Amy off all the way overseas, Armin and Colleen, out into the mission field, and Krista, and for all of them, Lord, we just thank you. So, Lord, we just want to roll it up into a bouquet this morning. We want to lay it before your altar. And thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we'll give you the glory. And so now, Lord, I pray that you bless these elements, the bread and the cup, for those who choose to take communion this morning. Pray, Lord, that you'll bless the bread and the cup that's going to be eaten for the picnic also, so we can share together across the table. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for bringing alive in your into being in Jesus' name. Amen.